our soul.
This nourishing of the soul with good and healthy nourishment will in fact increase and strengthen our ubudiyya. Just as when we eat good food, healthy food, our body is strengthened. But not only are the different kinds of obedience and the different kinds of worship to Allah help us in nourishing our soul. Matter of fact, when we do good deeds, when we do good actions, when we say good things, when we help one another, when we go out of our way to support a brother in religion or a sister in religion, when we give advice, when we are honest, when we are sincere, when we are truthful, when we are just, meaning even our actions can help us to nourish our soul when it comes to increasing our ubudiyya. And what is more interesting is that we live in a world where people care so much about their physical bodies. We watch what we eat, we watch how much exercise we have, we even do blood tests to make sure that our body is in working condition and is healthy. Now, doing all of these things, they are okay. There is nothing wrong with doing any of these things. And matter of fact, one should take care of their body because it is an amana. It is a trust by Allah given to every single one of us. But just as we pay attention to our physical body, we must also pay attention to our soul. We should also be careful of the things that we inject into our soul or the things that we feed our soul. And just as we would go and take a blood test to see in what condition our body is, we should take into account ourselves, what we have done in our lives and what we have done in our daily life in order to see what condition our soul is in. And so, dear friends, we must always remember to make sure that we nourish our souls with those things that will help our ubudiyya, our servitude, our worship, and our obedience to Allah.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
Now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Salim Yusuf Ali.
We have a body and we have a soul. Oftentimes when we forget about the value of the soul and we forget about the fact that this is what's going to take us into success in the hereafter, what we're doing is we are squandering something which is very valuable. It's a very precious thing that we have. And let me give you an analogy. Imagine that you were given a big stack of $100 bills. Okay, like, let's say, you know, I don't know, big stack, this big, $100 bills. Now, there's a number of things you can do with that stack of $100 bills. Right? You can take it, you can admire it, right? You can give it as gifts to your fellow brothers and sisters on Eid. Right? But most people aren't going to do that, right? Now, let's say you're... You have this big stack and you realize that it's gotten cold, all right? And you're looking for something to make a fire out of. And you look around, you don't see any firewood. Okay, you find a lighter and you have a big stack of $100 bills, right? You're like, okay, it's cold. I want to feel hot. Let me take the bills and let me light the bills on fire and make a fire out of them. All right, so now You're burning the $100 bills and you're making fire out of them. Now, most of you, if you were to even think about it, you'd be in shock. You'd be like, how could you possibly ever think about using, forget about $100 bills, even if it was like a stack of $1 bills, right? You would never burn $1 bills. Okay, what's the problem here? The problem is that, okay, the first of all, how long is that fire gonna last, right? Maybe a couple minutes, maybe maximum 10 minutes, and then all those bills are gonna be burnt. You don't have any left. Second of all, and this is the bigger problem, is that the $100 bills are meant to be used for something a lot more important. Just take one of those, go down to your local Walmart, and then use the rest of the change to buy some coffee, and then keep that rest of the money invested for your college, right? So the point is that that's just not at all a smart thing to use the bills for, because they're a lot more valuable than to be used in such a silly way. Now, that's just an analogy for us to think about, right? But at the end of the day, it's still a material amount of money. A big stack of bills, what is it? $1 million bucks, you know, 10 million bucks. When it comes to the human being, that soul that we have is so precious. It's so precious that Allah connects it to Himself. He says, min ruhi. And Allah is infinite, right? So the value of the soul is infinite as well too. When somebody commits a sin, right, now we're getting serious here. This is the bottom line here, and then we're going to end with this. We're going to move to the next part. When somebody commits a sin, what they're doing is even worse than that person who's lighting fire to that stack of bills. Because after all, bills are something which is material, and here is something which is immaterial. It could rise to the highest levels of perfection, but when we commit a sin, that's exactly what we're doing. We're burning our potential. We're burning our capital. What was supposed to be is now being thrown away and burnt away. Let me just end this part of the speech with a saying again from Imam Ali alayhi salam. He encompasses the whole message of the speech in just one line. He says, "Inna li anfusikum athmanan." These are the souls that you have. These have prices to them. Okay, they're worth something. فَلَا تَبِعُوهَا إِلَّا بِالْجَنَّةِ. Don't sell your souls for anything less than paradise. Meaning that the path to paradise and the pleasure of Allah has been laid out for us, which is the religion of Islam. Don't sell yourselves short. Don't lose out on the valuable price of these souls by doing anything to move away from that path which Allah has shown you that will take you to paradise.
IRIB English Radio. Our website, www.parshtoday.com.
Welcome back, dear listeners, in continuation to what we were saying, which was this idea that just as we nourish our bodies, we should also nourish our souls. And just as there are things that are a damage and can harm our bodies, there are also things that can harm and damage our souls. So we had said that things that nourish the body, of course, include, but are not limited to, praying and fasting and reading our salat and reading the Holy Quran, doing the du'as and the supplications and the different rituals and ceremonies and traditions that we have, the true, pure Islamic traditions. And we had also said that it is very important to do righteous actions and that these actions are also a nourishment for the soul. So we talked a little bit, dear friends, about those things which will help our soul to increase its aspect of ubudiyya, But likewise, there are things and there are mixtures which can prevent our ubudiyya and weaken our ubudiyya. There are things which will weaken our soul and prevent it from conducting the worship of Allah. Now, naturally, this mixture which is harmful and will damage our soul and will weaken our ubudiyya is prepared by Satan's filthy hands. But not only is Satan involved in this mixture of deadly poisons which will destroy our soul, there is the meddling of the obstinate self that only desires. It runs after carnal desires, wildly, like a wild animal. Now, these whisperings and these insinuations and this instigation of Satan, along with our self which wants to go after carnal desires like a wild animal, the two of these together give birth to nothing but satanic character. And when the heart and the soul get their nourishment from these two, that is, Satan's hands and the self which wants to go only for carnal desires, then this character becomes the image of the soul. But here, dear friends, we must remember that taking the step to stop committing acts which are a disobedience to Allah, this step is the first step, of course, in order to not go down this path. The more an individual sins and disobeys Allah, the easier it becomes for Satan to influence them, and the easier it becomes for them to fall prey to the instigations of the lower self. This lower self, which, like a wild animal, only desires carnal desires, money and wealth and power and physical relations and things like this. One must have the intention to not commit sin, and one must not commit sin. And eventually, in addition to those spiritual nourishments which brings us close to Allah, we will find that refraining from committing sins and refraining from doing things that damage our soul will help us to become closer to Allah, and it will help us to strengthen and improve our ubudiyya. Otherwise, if a person decides to continue to put these negative aspects and these negative actions and these, you know, negative things into their soul and eat this kind of junk food for the soul, if you will, then slowly their character becomes satanic, they become a offspring of Satan, and they are eventually included among the shayateen, min al-jinn, wal-ins. The result, of course, is nothing but loss, regret, and at one point, even repentance will avail to nothing. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news. Ardisic News. With the light.
If you're a private collector of wild animals, there is good news for you. A Pakistani zoo is auctioning off a dozen lions due to a lack of money to feed them and a space to house them. Lahore Safari Zoo currently has so many big cats that they have to take turns accessing paddocks. Officials say auctioning them will free up space and also reduce expenses. Zoo is currently housing 29 lions. The lions auctioned this week will be between 2 to 5 years of age. Each big cat is estimated to fetch around 150,000 Pakistan rupees. That's not too much, as some zookeepers claim. Even conservationists have expressed anger over auctioning lions to private collectors instead of transferring them to other zoos. Happy news for zoo goers in Nicaragua. Two adorable baby tapirs are born at a country's national zoo south of Managua, adding attractions to the visitors. Two endangered tapirs, a male and a female, were born hours apart at the weekend. In a video shared by the zoo, one of the newborns is seen suckling and walking near her mother. The director of the zoo says the babies are yet to be named but are in perfect health. Tapirs inhabit jungle and forest regions of South and Central America, with one species inhabiting Southeast Asia. They look something like pigs with trunks, but they are actually related to horses and rhinos. Nicaragua launched a project that seeks to conserve this animal in danger of extinction due to hunting and the destruction of natural habitat. Now we'll take you to mine-riddled French island, Chazoms, which is emerging from the ruins and gradually turning into workers' paradise. Chazoms, close to the port city of Saint-Malo, has an amazing landscape but remains uninhabited as it saw a devastating bombardment by the Allies during the World War II. The Nazi-occupied island was victim of the most bombings per square meter. Known as Martyred and Forbidden Island, it was opened only in 2018 after extensive demining efforts allowed the opening of a marked path. Now, every year, thousands of day trippers make the short boat journey, marveling at the spectacular maritime views and flourishing wildlife there. The safe area still makes up just 3% of the island, but it lets visitors wander between rusty cannons and bunkers. Some workers say they hope the trail will be lengthened to allow a complete tour of the island.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism. The Jamtal Glacier in Austria has been losing around 1 meter of its surface annually. Scientists say the ice is a precious archive that is simply melting away and are surveying the area. Austrian mountain researchers say the glaciers contain an invaluable trove of ancient frozen leaves and twigs and other scientific treasures that can be lost forever. They say the time capsules, including the remote Jamtal Valley, are falling victim to climate change. In the 1990s, tourists found that 5,300-year-old mummy of Iceman near the same area. According to the international data, global warming has raised temperatures in Europe's highest mountains by nearly 2 degrees Celsius in the past 120 years. French rescuers are racing against time to save a beluga whale stranded in Seine River near Paris. The beluga was first spotted stuck between two locks in the river from Paris to the English Channel on Tuesday. Specialists say the animal is undernourished and is refusing food. Warm water is also worsening the health of this creature, which is normally seen near Norway, some 3,000 kilometers to the north. Rescuers say they have only up to 48 hours to save the whale. They are now looking at the possibility of taking the beluga out of the water, treating it, and eventually transferring it out to the sea.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
There are many big restaurants with Michelin stars awarded based on their quality. But you will be amazed to know that an eatery located in a tiny village in Greenland also has this badge of honor, making it the world's most remote Michelin-starred restaurant. This eatery in the village, which is home to only 53 people, serves you what it gets from its immediate surroundings. Looking out over the chilly North Atlantic, customers taste a variety of local products, ranging from whale skin to an Arctic bird whose entire wing, including feathers, is on the plate. The restaurant is so remote that you can only reach there by boat through floating icebergs. The head chef says he forages for wild berries, flowers, and herbs every day, since the menu largely includes local flavors.
Visitors and staff at a French zoo have celebrated the first birthday of twin pandas. The young bears were given a tasty treat of frozen cakes and other treats. As part of the event, five lucky visitors were also given the chance to participate in the celebrations behind the scenes with golden tickets. Other festivities included face painting and panda-themed activities. The baby pandas were born last August and now weigh 23 and 28 kilograms. They live with their mother at Zoo Parc de Bouval, where they have been on display since their arrival in 2021.
Many people develop deeper relationships with four-legged animals, treating them like their own kids. A Kenyan conservationist is one of them. 33-year-old Salome Lemercier has been a community ranger in Sierra Conservancy, northern Kenya, since 2015. The mother of four is stationed at a rhino sanctuary and is in charge of protecting a male rhino named Loijipo. At just a few days old, Loijipo was abandoned by his mother, possibly due to her being spooked by something. After being cared for, he was returned to the sanctuary under surveillance in an attempt to rewild him. 3 years on from his release into Sierra Wilderness, he is taking his time to carve out his territory, of course, with the help of Salome. The chest fever in the southern Indian city of Chennai is on a peak as the 44th International Chess Olympiad kicks off there. Students created a mammoth chessboard on the playground and dressed up as 32 chess pieces to promote the game. For 2 weeks, Chennai is hosting nearly 2,000 players from 188 countries. For the first time in nearly 100 years of history of the Chess Olympiad, India is playing host. The event will run until August the 10th. Ahead of the game, 150 underprivileged children from various government schools were given the opportunity to fly. These were the students who won in a district-level chess tournament. Excited spectators gather at the Solberg Airport in the U.S. for the 39th New Jersey Lottery Festival of Ballooning.
We have about 45 balloons here today, including these spectacular special shapes. Our signature New Jersey Lottery Sunny Days balloon. You can see the tiger. Unicorn is hiding behind there. Tasmanian Devil, unique photo panda. We are having a spaceship. There's Billy the Kid. Spectacular presentation. You won't believe your skies this weekend.
Dozens of hot air balloons were test-inflated in preparation for the real deal. The festival is considered the largest summertime event in New Jersey. Reddington City officials have predicted about 170,000 people will join the festival over the weekend. Weather forecasts say the sky are gentle enough for over 100 balloons to take flight in the morning and evening in mass ascents. And no one is more excited than the festival producer, who has been planning the event for months.
Including these spectacular special shapes, the balloons bring out the kid in everyone. You know, I've done this for a long time. This is the 39th annual one. But still, when I hear that propane whirring and these balloons going up, it makes the hair on my arm stand up.
The producer says these balloons will be handled by professional pilots and other balloons will be available for rides. The festival will last for 3 days, ending with food vendors, games, amusement rides, and other entertainment. There will also be a massive fireworks display as well as a nighttime feature of glowing balloons. The annual festival is the largest seasonal hot air balloon festival in North America. It draws in thousands of visitors every year.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
سيد عبد الله الموسوي.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at human rights through the movement of Imam Hussein عليه السلام, through the Battle of Karbala and Ashura as a whole. We got to the point where we said Imam Hussein refused to give allegiance and take part of this taghuti oppressive system of Yazid. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he was in Mecca, he received the news that Yazid is sending people to assassinate him and kill him, even though he is in the sanctity of the Kaaba, because these people know, they know no holiness and no sacred thing to them. Everything to them is normal. So in order to this say to save the sanctuary of the Kaaba and maintain that the Kaaba stays a sacred place, he decided to cut short his Hajj and leave. That itself is a message for me and you in terms of human rights. Kaaba itself is just a place. It's just a cubic made of walls, surrounded by walls and rocks, nothing to it. What makes Kaaba, or the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sacred is the fact that it belongs to Allah. It has the name Baytullah, the house of Allah. That's it. Beside that, there's nothing else, right? Now, I ask you the question, who is more sacred to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A servant, a believing man or woman, or even a generally speaking, a human life, or the house of Allah? Now, through the Quran and through the Ahadith, a mu'min is more sacred to Allah than the house of Allah. Because like I said, it's a cubic, it's made of walls. To Allah, it means nothing. But a mu'min means everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you compare them, there's no comparison. Now, we have in the Ahadith that, I mean, I don't want to go into the depth of this topic because it will take us somewhere else, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says you can commit numerous of sins inside the Kaaba itself, amongst of which incest with a family member, and the mu'min will still have more sanctity than the Kaaba itself. So you can see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the mu'mineen seriously, meaning that the rights of people are more important to Allah than the Kaaba itself. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, he left the Kaaba because he said it's a sacred place. But what was more sacred to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is the people themselves, because he wanted to make sure that they are protected, their dignity is preserved, that such system should not be in place. Me and you, we have to take the servants and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more seriously and look at them as sacred beings, just like Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam did. Human beings, they are made of two things, body and a soul. And me and you, we can transgress on both of them. I can deprive a person of his physical needs, and I can deprive a person of his spiritual needs, his soul. And I can harm his body as much as I can harm his soul. Which means I can take the rights of anyone I want. Right now I'm talking and I can say a few things that you as a listener would be hurt and harmed by. Which means I have taken your rights. Now, before I continue this topic, let us take a short break and then we'll get back.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. So we were saying that the mu'min is more sacred to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the house of the Kaaba itself. So Imam Hussein left the Kaaba because he did not want his blood to be shed in it, so the sanctity of the Kaaba will be violated. Now, when we try to compare this to ourselves and to our current times, now, the words that I say are very hurtful, very harmful to other people. Obviously, the wrong ones. Because sometimes I can curse a person, I could nickname a person, I can defame a person, I can accuse a person, I can do so much just verbally. I can do so much verbal damage to one person, just verbally. And that itself is a form of violation of their basic human rights, which is their dignity and their honor. I should not try to violate that. It's more sacred. That's a basic right. I cannot harm them. And then I can also create physical harm to them. Sometimes I can lie just to make sure that this person does not get his sustenance or does not get his job, or trying to get him out of his job, or trying to deprive him of his job to begin with. So I can do things through lying, through deception, through cheating, through backbiting. I can harm a person on a physical level, not just him and his family. So you can see that I will no longer hold this human being as a sacred being any longer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, this human being of mine is so sacred that if one of them gets killed, it's like killing the entire humanity. So me and you, if we compare the move of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he moved from the Kaaba for the sake of people. But how about us killing one another? How about us taking the rights of one another? And sometimes, like we were saying in previous episode, we might support those who kill the innocent people. If I live in a Western country, I don't want to name names anymore because it is just ridiculous. If I live in one of these systems that they are the ones that sell weapons and they are the ones that supports some countries killing Muslims, like, for example, take Yemen, for example, or Iraq, or any of these countries, where blood of innocent Muslims being shed under the supervision and the green light of some Western countries. If I support these countries, then obviously I'm taking the rights of these people. They are no longer sacred to me as humans, yet alone Muslims. A beautiful hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give people containers of blood. And the angels, they say to them, this is your share of blood from this person. And the guy says, God, but I never killed anyone. I never participated in killing anyone. And the answer comes to them, you have said a word that caused to shed the blood of an innocent people. You have done an act that caused the shed of innocent people. You have took a stand that caused the shed of innocent people. So we have to be very careful. We don't end up like those people who take the rights of others and take share in shedding their blood through the systems that we support. Because Imam Hussein alayhi salam, clearly, he stood against that. And like I said, he left the Kaaba to make sure bloodshed is not done, so the sanctity of the Kaaba is preserved, yet alone people. We'll leave it here and we'll continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم صل على محمد وآله. اللهم صل على محمد وآله. If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atta, the host of this program. We've been in the studio. We have a very special guest speakers for today's discussion, Sheikh Murtaza Karimi, an Islamic expert from the Islamic Hausa of Qom. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you for having me.
Okay, Sheikh Karimi, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the authenticity of Ziyara Nahi al-Muqaddasa. We can roughly translate this, the title of this Ziyara, as the Ziyara of the Sacred Person. We can say this is a Ziyara related to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, which is recited especially on the day of Ashura and other occasions. So give us some details about Ziyaratul Nahiyat al-Muqaddasa. What is this Ziyara?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. An-Nahiyat al-Muqaddasa is a term which was used by the Shia from the time of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam to refer to the Imam of the time. And in this case, we are talking about Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. And this Ziyara, Ziyara Nahi Muqaddasa, is narrated by one of the special deputies of Imam Mahdi, alayhi salam. So it's a visiting text for Imam al-Hussein, alayhi salam, issued by Imam Mahdi, alayhi salam, and may Allah hasten his reappearance.
So, sorry, Nahiya Muqaddasa means coming from a holy person.
No, Nahiya means...
I translate it as a sacred person.
Yeah.
Okay.
So An-Nahiyah al-Muqaddasa is referring to Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam himself. And Ziyara Nahiyah al-Muqaddasa means the text which is issued for visiting Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And this text is coming from An-Nahiyah al-Muqaddasa, who is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. There are two Ziyaras which are known as Ziyara Nahiyah. One of them is famous and the other one is not that famous. The one which is not which is famous, as I mentioned, is quoted by one of the special deputies of the Imam. And this Ziyara has been quoted by Sheikh al-Mufid and also in Bahar al-Anbar, in Al-Mazar al-Kabir, in As-Sahifat al-Hadiyah, and some other famous Shia collections of prayers. The other one is Ziyaratu Shuhada, and that is different from the Ziyara that today we are talking about. Some people also call it Ziyara Nahiyah Muqaddasa, but this is a Ziyara given to us by a person called Muhammad bin Ghalib Isfahani. And in this Ziyara, we read about the names of 80 companions of the Imam, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and those who killed him, those who killed them. And it seemed that this Ziyara is from Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, or for Imam al-Askari alayhi salam, not from Imam Mahdi. So the question is about the famous one, of course.
So that's all right. What about the authenticity of this Ziyara? I mean, is it referred to and does it have many references during the history or not?
The oldest source that contained this Ziyara, Ziyara Nahiyah Muqaddasa, is Al-Mazar al-Kabir, by Ibn al-Mashhadi, who passed away in 595 after Hijrah. And now, still today, it's a matter of dispute, not only for Ziyara Muqaddasa, but for Al-Mazar al-Kabir by Ibn al-Mashhadi, whether it is an authentic source or not. We're not talking about the source now, we're talking about this Ziyara. The Ziyara does not include and contain the chain of the narration. He says that Ibn al-Mashhadi, in the beginning of his work, explicitly mentions that all the ziyarat that I'm quoting in this book, I have received them through complete chain of the narration, but for brevity, I'm omitting the chain of the narration. So, and that is the problem, if we may put it this way, for later scholars to trust Ibn al-Mashhadi in his claim or not. Now, we have... the majority of the scholars agree that, I mean, he's a trustworthy person and all these ziyarat can be called, I mean, true ziyarat. But we have some scholars, for example, Ayatollah Khoui, rahmatullah alayhi, he believes that he himself, Ibn al-Mashhadi, he is an unknown person to us. So we cannot rely on him. And among contemporary Shia scholars, we have some people who believe that this Ziyara cannot be accepted because of some issues, especially in the chain of the narration. But the majority of the Shia scholars believe that, first of all, Ibn al-Mashhadi himself is a great scholar. He is a trustworthy scholar. and they have accepted the authenticity of the book Al-Mazar al-Kabir.
Okay.
For example, we may refer to Shahid Awal, the first martyr, Sheikh Al-Amali, Allama Majlisi, Sheikh Abbas Qummi, Sayyid yes. Muhsin Amin, and Aghbazouk Tehrani.
That's all right. What is the main content of this ziyara text, Sheikh?
This ziyara begins by sending peace and greetings to all the prophets and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, like by saying Assalamu ala Adam Safatullah, sending salam upon all the prophets, beginning from Adam alayhi salam. Then he talks about the kind of description of Imam Hussein alayhi salam before the tragedy of Karbala, what caused this tragedy to happen, yes. how Imam Hussein alayhi salam was martyred himself. Mm-hmm. It talks about the companions of the Imam, and also it talks about the mourning of all the creatures for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And finally, it has some tawassul, some supplications and prayers.
That's right.
Now, if I have time, I may okay. go to some more details
yes,
about the
good.
Authenticity of this ziyara.
Okay.
Now, the point is that, first of all, Allama Majlisi in Bihar al-Anwar has quoted this ziyara in different volumes, and he has mentioned that Sheikh al-Mufid, he has quoted this ziyara in his book Al-Mazar as one of the recommended deeds for the Day of Ashura. So this is one point by Allama Majlisi which considers this ziyara as, authentic ziyara for the Imam.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Now, as I mentioned regarding the chain of the narration, there is a kind of difference of ideas among Shia scholars, but the majority of the scholars, of Shia scholars, they have accepted Al-Mazar al-Kabir by Ibn al-Mashhadi. But the second point is that, because we are talking about a ziyara text, we are not talking about jurisprudence.
Yes.
When it comes to Islamic laws, it's very important for you to check all the chain of the narration one by one.
Yes.
But when it comes to recommended deeds like du'as, supplications, prayers, and ziyarat, it's been proved that it's not the case for us to check one by one all the narrators, because in that case, we may refer to the content.
Yes.
Because in many cases, the content of a supplication and a ziyara tells us that no one but an infallible imam can issue such and tell us and recite such a supplication. So imagine, for example, we have no complete chain of the narration for Dua Abu Hamda Thumali.
Yes.
Or Dua Kumail,
yes.
or Dua Arafa. Is it possible for a fallible person, a person other than Imam, to issue such a great Dua and mm-hmm. Ziyara with all these profound content?
Yes.
According to many scholars, this is one of the ways through which we can come to this conclusion whether it is an authentic text, authentic supplication or not. So when it comes to Ziyara Nahya Muqaddasa, many scholars believe that the content of the narration is telling us that no one but an infallible imam mm-hmm. Has been able to say all these profound contents. The next point is that this ziyara has been quoted by many great scholars that I mentioned. This is another qarina, another indication that if it was not an authentic text for visiting Imam Hussein alayhi salam, so the Shia scholars shouldn't have quoted this ziyara in their books.
That's right.
I mentioned the names of some of these great scholars. Later we have other scholars, for example, Sayyidina Taboos in Misbah al-Zair, as I mentioned, Allama Majlisi in Bihar al-Anwar, Ibrahim bin Faith Kashani, and many others, many other scholars, they have quoted this ziyarah in their books.
We can read it on any day, but especially on the day of Ashura.
Okay. It's been one of the ziyarah which is specific for the day of Ashura, but it doesn't mean that we are not able to recite it on other ways. Regarding the great and high content of this ziyarah, let me quote a story from Sheikh Muhammad Hussein Kashif al-Qita. He was asked about another supplication which is known as Dua al-Sabah. And he was asked whether this dua has an authentic chain of the narration or not. And in his answer to this question, he said that we know the words of the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt, especially the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. It's not possible for any person other than Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam to have said and to have issued this dua. In that case, he was talking about dua al-sabah.
Yes.
So this is the point. As I mentioned, even if we do not accept the chain of the narration, there are some indications, a bunch of evidence which tell us that this ziyarah cannot be issued by any person other than Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. So many scholars believe that, ziyarah Nahiyah Muqaddasah is an authentic ziyarah for, visiting Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And either the chain is authentic because of the fact that Ibn al-Mashadi himself says that I have quoted all these ziyarat through a full chain of narration. If we accept that from Ibn al-Mashadi, then it's okay. Otherwise, if we reject this claim, the point is that there are some indications which tell us that we need to believe in this ziyarah because of the fact that many great Shia scholars, they have quoted this ziyarah in their books of supplications and prayers and ziyarat. And second of all, this ziyarah contains some high and great content which cannot be issued by any person other than an infallible Imam. And of course, let me also share this point that the content of this ziyarah is in line with many other ziyarah texts. This is another qarina, another indication.
That's right.
So it doesn't contain something which is against the other ziyarah texts that we have for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. So it seems that at least according to the majority of the Shia scholars, ziyarah Nahiyah Muqaddasah is an authentic ziyarah text for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
In this ziyarah text we read, "Peace be upon the parched lips, peace be upon the plucked souls. Peace be upon the snatched spirits. Peace be upon the stripped corpses. Peace be upon the pallid bodies. And peace be upon the gushing blood." These are referring to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam on the tragedy of Karbala 61 AH. Thank you much, dear listeners. Till another episode, God bless you all. Assalamu alaykum, Ya Aba Abdullah al-Hussein.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
internet trolls.
Part 1.
The internet. What began as an exclusive tool to connect militaries, governments, and then universities has now, more than 60 years later, transformed everything about how modern societies operate and communicate. Today, no one can escape the grasp of social media or evade the mind-boggling connectivity that nearly all humans worldwide now have access to. But few have been prepared for what has also emerged with all this human connectedness. A new and ominous strain of human behavior has been unleashed. Increasingly, people are hiding behind a cloak of anonymity, waiting to provoke, harass, and even threaten anyone they choose. They are called internet trolls.
A troll is someone devoting large parts of their life to attacking other people on the internet, basically trying to make that other person's life miserable in some way.
They send things to my home. It terrifies me to think what they could do if they wanted to, knowing exactly where I live, knowing where my children go to school.
Trolls can be a minor annoyance or a life-crippling terror. But what happens if society tries to silence them? Who loses then?
Trolling is a free speech issue. And if you aren't free to hate someone, then you're not free.
I've been associated with all kinds of organized trolling groups. We're stretching the bounds of free speech. You either use it or you lose it. Feelings will be hurt.
Politicians and the courts are now grappling with who really is a dangerous troll.
I've been called trolled by very powerful people that should know better. Homophobe, misogynist, racist, all this stuff is just lazy people not wanting to interact.
Artist Gregory Allen Elliott is at the center of a landmark trolling case that might land him behind bars and forever change what any of us anywhere can or cannot say online.
If Mr. Elliott is convicted of a criminal offense, watch out. Nobody will be safe. You better shut up. Because if you don't, he could be going to jail.
My name is Gina Crosley Corcoran. I write a blog called The Feminist Breeder, and I deal with a really steady onslaught of very vicious and dedicated trolls. Trolls can be really, really sneaky. When you think about patterns of stalking, stalkers don't just do it really quietly. They leave their victim clues that they're being stalked in order to scare them. So today I got a Working Person's Store magazine addressed to The Feminist Breeder with my home address. My trolls sent me this, probably to imply that I'm too lazy to find a real job besides blogging.
Gina's blog earns her family a decent income. She writes about being a stay-at-home mom, but from a pro-choice, modern feminist perspective. And a large, active community of like-minded women has grown around her blog.
I like to see that recognition response when someone else goes, oh, me too. And that's so validating. That's why I do it.
Feminists are frequently targeted by trolls. Gina knew to expect attacks, but she's been overwhelmed by the volume of abuse and stunned to discover who her trolls are.
The trolls and the really dangerous people that I attract are themselves mothers and have small children at home. They get something out of taking out their frustrations on someone like me. They see me as a figurehead, and they're really angry about the attention I'm getting from people, and they want to discredit me in any way they possibly can. These people spend all day taking screenshots of every word I type on the internet. They all pick it apart. They talk about my children. They talk about my clothes. They spend an incredible amount of energy focusing exclusively on something that they claim to completely hate. And to me, that's the difference between someone who just disagrees with you or someone who's really stalking every move you make. And those are the trolls.
Gina sees little difference between her trolls and a stalker. They want to see her react, and they know how to push her buttons.
A stalker wants to upset that person. They want to make them afraid. And that's what these trolls do. They leave comments in such a way that makes you feel afraid of what they're going to do and say. They'll leave comments about my address or my kids, and they do it because they want to get a reaction out of me. They want to see me lash out, and it all feeds into this sick and twisted entertainment value to them.